Welcome. You are listening to AfterSight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith, amateur radio operator W0NX, featuring the June 2025 The Spectrum Monitor. We'll begin by finishing RF Current News from the World of Communications by Ken Reitz, KS4CR. The best part is that the program aired for 6 months before listeners started wondering who Thai was. The ruse was exposed in The Independent on April 26. When questioned, an ARN project leader admitted that Thai was not actually a person. The Independent noted that there are currently no rules against the use of AI in broadcast content, according to the Australian Communications and Media Authority. However, the Australian Radio Network was criticized for not disclosing the use of AI on one of its regular shows. 11 Labs has a convincing demo on its website, which might provide American radio stations with the final solution to troublesome, expensive, live disc jockeys and other on-air talent. Stockholders, always buoyed when C-suite heavies fire staff, will like it even more. Listeners, this experiment shows they might not care, at least not on hip-hop stations. Ted Randall, WB8PUM, Silent Key. Known for many years to shortwave listeners worldwide for his top 40 music shows on both WWCR and WRMI, and his program about amateur radio, QSO Radio, also broadcast on shortwave for over 20 years, Ted Randall Klimkowski, WB8PUM, passed away on May 11, 2025, at the age of 73 in Lebanon, Tennessee. According to a post on Legacy.com, Ted was born in Detroit, Michigan, and started his broadcasting career at age 15 at WMUZ, a Christian radio station in Detroit. Throughout his career, Ted worked at more than 20 radio stations, including WSM in Nashville, which also led to an announcing job at the Grand Ole Opry, and CKLW, Windsor, Ontario. He served as chief engineer for Five Star Radio in Clarksville, Tennessee, during the early 2000s, and chief engineer at Cromwell Radio for over 20 years, overseeing engineering for 10 stations in the Nashville, Tennessee area. A member of the Society of Broadcast Engineers, he received the American Radio Relay League's Bill Leonard Media Award in 2008 and 2009. He is survived by his wife, Holly Mislin Klimkowski, two sons, and grandchildren. And now the shortwave listener by Fred Waterer. Programming _ matters at yahoo.ca. World War II remembered in radio. An image on this page shows a man wearing a suit and bow tie, standing at a podium. He appears to be making a vigorous speech. One hand is raised with his finger pointing. Two microphones, labeled BBC, are pointed at him. The caption reads, "The Internet provides many opportunities to hear wartime broadcasts from the past." Photo courtesy bbc.co.uk. Back to the text. Here we are, at the midpoint already of 2025, with summer sun and heat being embraced by most of us. We'll look at programming from a place with a polar opposite climate. Lots of radio history this month, too. WaveScan. AWR WaveScan is a long-running program for shortwave and radio hobbyists, founded by Dr. Adrian Peterson. It is now hosted by Ray Robinson and WRMI's Jeff White. It includes historical features about various aspects of radio broadcasting, as well as current information and interviews. Each edition also includes a shortwave news report from one of their many correspondents around the world. It's a great program. The radio history segments are fascinating to this history geek. More on that later. Recent examples have included Radio and the Fall of Saigon in 1975, California Broadcasting in World War II, and offshore station Radio Broad in the Adriatic Sea, circa 1990s. The program is also a great source of current news about developments in broadcasting around the world, covering such topics as USAGM cuts, transmitter decommissioning in Slovakia, and the final broadcasts from Radio Liechtenstein. Programs also often include long-form interviews, which can be heard over multiple episodes. The final part of the program is the rotating roster of reports from DXers and DX clubs around the world. In any given program, you might hear a DX report from Japan, India, South Africa, the Philippines, or others, giving the listener a taste of what's being heard around the world. For anyone interested in international broadcasting, it is a must-hear program. The easiest way to do this is via the podcast, which can be heard at podomatic.com/podcasts/wavescan. Programs are archived here for several months. Wavescan is also heard via WRMI many times through the week. 42 different transmissions are listed each week in the WRMI schedule. Wavescan is one of the more interesting programs produced by WRMI. Some additional news via Jeff White. Here's the June 1st main feature for Wavescan. The arid country of Afghanistan, with its 250,000 square miles, is sandwiched between Pakistan to the south and east and Iran to the west. The 40 million or so inhabitants are made up of 20 diverse ethnic groups, each with its own culture and language, though Dari and Pashto are the two official languages. Ray Robinson in Los Angeles presents an update on radio broadcasting in that country. And here's the June 8th main feature. The Australasian radio world was widely circulated in both Australia and New Zealand. And the April 1937 edition includes an article by a Mr. G.V. Hume, celebrating the 10th anniversary of shortwave broadcasts from PCJ in the Netherlands, the forerunner of the much-loved Radio Nederland. The article, titled When PCJ Was PCJJ, provides an interesting insight into the value of shortwave broadcasting in those years immediately preceding the Second World War. Jeff adds, I don't have listings beyond that for Wavescan, but in June we will continue our reports from the HFCC A25 Coordination Conference in Abu Dhabi, and we will continue our coverage of the constantly changing situation at the U.S. Agency for Global Media. Radio Mystery Theater, May 24th, The Hermit's Cave Radio Show, The House with a Past, 1937. May 31st, Suspense Radio Show, The Hitchhiker, 1942. You can hear the Radio Mystery Theater, prepared by Reverend Martin Dawson of Prince Edward Island, Canada, on Saturdays at 1300 UTC on 15,770 kHz, and repeated at 11 p.m. Eastern Time Saturday, 0300 UTC Sunday, on 9,395 kHz, and on Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 2300 UTC, on 5,950 kHz. New time for Voice of Shortwave Radio International. As of UTC May 3rd, VOSR International will be heard 1 hour earlier at 0300 to 0400 UTC Saturday, on 9,455 kHz. The program is on each week, but at the moment there is one new program per month. So, you have four or five chances to hear it. In the near future, new programs are expected to appear every other week. Tune in for lots of news about shortwave radio from Hawaii. An image on this page shows blocks of sea ice floating in the ocean. The caption reads, "Antarctic. The annual broadcast to Antarctica can be heard June 21st. Photo courtesy bbc.co.uk. Back to the text. World War II anniversaries. June 6th will mark the 81st anniversary of the D-Day landings in France in 1944. There is bound to be programming related to this significant anniversary from the BBC World Service, CBC, and elsewhere. As each year passes, fewer and fewer veterans survive to make the trip back to Normandy, making these anniversaries even more poignant. In May, we mark the 80th anniversary of VE Day. In August and September, the 80th anniversary of the atomic bombing of Japan, the Emperor's dramatic speech to the nation, and the final surrender ceremony in Tokyo Bay will be marked. There will no doubt be many programs around the world to mark these occasions. But did you know there are hundreds of hours of recordings of all of these events online? Have you ever wished you could go back and experience important events in real time as they happened? In the case of D-Day, you can. On June 6, 1944, someone had the bright idea to record the entire CBS broadcast day. It offers an opportunity to experience the Normandy invasion in real time as breaking news. It's fascinating on many levels. Having the benefit of hindsight, we all know how it turned out. They didn't. For a history geek like me, it's a treasure trove. A rather ordinary day begins with a remarkable report from German sources that the invasion has begun. As the day progresses, you hear speeches by Eisenhower, Montgomery, and de Gaulle. You hear from political leaders of the governments in exile, Norway, Belgium, Holland, and war leaders such as King George VI and FDR. For those interested in media history, many broadcast giants are heard in these recordings. Bob Trout holds down what we would now call the anchor desk in New York. His 3 a.m. tour of the newsroom is worth the price of admission. Also heard from New York is John Charles Daly, who some will recall as the host of What's My Line in the 1960s. Daly also broke the news of the Pearl Harbor attack in 1941 and the end of the war, too. Edward R. Murrow, William L. Shire, Charles Collingwood, and many others are heard. In those pre-satellite years, how was this done? By shortwave. You hear the shortwave static often. For shortwave listeners, there is also a sample of the kind of programming America was broadcasting to the world via shortwave during the war. A few BBC World Service newscasts are also heard. Depending on which version you listen to, some include other programming heard between news reports. In other words, regularly scheduled programming. Soap operas, music shows, Burns and Allen. Military band concerts as filler, offering a taste of radio in the 1940s. The scope of this column does not allow me to go into too much detail, except to say these recordings are simply fascinating, especially with the benefit of hindsight. How do you listen? There are a number of YouTube channels that carry partial or substantial parts of the broadcast day. These often add newsreel footage. Look for a channel called 7 Days Productions. But my advice is to go to archive.org in the audio section. Click audio at the top, then old time radio on the drop-down menu. Then you can search D-Day and download the CBS entire broadcast day. To be able to hear samples of typical programming, along with breaking news 1944 style. Finally, in the archives of this publication, you might find an article detailing these broadcasts in far greater detail, written by Lloyd Van Horn a few years ago. But wait, there's more. Go to YouTube, search for a channel called Old is Best. Then click on Playlists, the WW2 Radio News. Here you will find some amazing playlists divided by years. From 1938 to 1945, you can hear dozens of hours of news broadcasts and current affairs from the time. From the annexation of Austria in 1938 to the surrender in Tokyo Bay, often live as they happened. You can also search archive.org under Old Time Radio and WW2 News Broadcasts to hear many of the same news broadcasts. It's a time machine I am thoroughly hooked on. From the Isle of Music, June 2025. June's program will begin a series of episodes featuring winners and nominees of Cuba Disco 2025, Cuba's most prestigious discographic awards. Friday, June 13th, 6070 kHz at 1700 UTC, 3,955 at 2100 UTC. Sunday, June 15th, 9,670 kHz at 1700 UTC using booster beam E to Eastern Europe and beyond. Repeat of June 13th episode. Uncle Bill's Melting Pot, June 2025. June's program will feature Bollywood versus Lollywood, music from India's and Pakistan's film industries. There will be no losers in this epic musical battle. Friday, June 20th, 6070 kHz at 1700 UTC, 3955 at 2100 UTC. Sunday, June 22nd, 9,670 kHz at 1700 UTC, using booster beam E to Eastern Europe and beyond. Repeat of June 20th episode. In addition to direct radio reception, both programs honor reception reports using remote SDRs, as long as the whole program is described and which SDR is specified. Texas Radio Shortwave, with BBC World Service from Tashkent on 9,670 kHz from 0:00 to 0:200 UTC, obliterating our 0:100 UTC broadcasts to North America over channel 292, we're tentatively moving to 0:200 UTC to gauge if it's feasible to continue the early morning UTC transmissions from the station. That's why the 0200 UTC broadcast is shown as tentative on the attached schedules. We'll update the schedule as soon as we decide how best to reach North America. June 2025 schedule. June 7, 1500 UTC, 6070 kHz. Music of Chris Christopherson. June 8, 0200 UTC, 9,670 kHz, 1,200 UTC, 9,670 kHz, 2,300 UTC, 9,670 kHz. The annual BBC Midwinter Antarctic Broadcast, June 21st. When it comes to programs with a niche audience, this is about the nichiest. Each year, several BBC transmitters are turned over to this half-hour broadcast. June 21st, the longest day of the year in the Northern Hemisphere, is the shortest in Antarctica. On one hand, the broadcast probably has the smallest intended audience for any BBC World Service program. On the other hand, shortwave listeners and DXers all over the world will try to hear it, giving it a potentially much larger audience. The intended audience? Just 35 to 45 people, the men and women scientists and support staff, overwintering at four British bases in Antarctica. A 2014 BBC article describes the day down south. Festivities on Midwinter's Day are as traditional as those of Christmas. The base commanders rise early to cook breakfast for their staff. presents are exchanged. There are sports, and even, weather permitting, a mad streak in the snow. Feasting continues before they gather round a shortwave set to listen to the traditional broadcast packed with greetings from their family and friends back home, together with music requests and messages from the British Antarctic Survey and a few celebrities. Finally, the Antarctic horror movie The Thing is screened. For those who know the plot, perhaps it is just as well there are no longer sledge dogs in Antarctica. For those living at three British Antarctic Survey research stations, Rothera, Bird Island, and South Georgia, and at other national bases across the frozen continent, midwinter is a special time. With no sunlight, Antarctica is at its coldest, and those stationed on the frozen continent face months of total isolation. The program is very touching, as one often hears very emotional messages back and forth from families that are about as far apart as one can be on this planet. During 2020, at the height of the pandemic and lockdowns, one parent in Britain told his son in the Antarctic that he could begin to understand the challenges of isolation. It really is worth it if you get a chance to eavesdrop on this special event. It is usually heard at 2130 to 2200 UTC. Consult swling.com or other sources closer to the date for frequencies. For the past few years, it has been hosted by Karis Matthews, host of The Blues Show on BBC Two. BBC World Service programming of note all times UTC, the documentary. With its dancing challenges and comedy sketches, it's no surprise why TikTok is popular with young Kenyans. It's also a way for them to make money through the app's gifting service. But there is a darker side. Young women and girls as young as 15 are selling sexual content on live streams, with some being recruited and exploited by digital pimps. BBC Africa Eye's Debula Kamoli investigates who is profiting. BBC World Service, Thursday, 22nd May, 0930 UTC. Heart and Soul. Musambwa Island in Lake Victoria, Uganda, a 5-acre rocky outcrop of land 5 miles from land, is the biggest breeding ground in the world for gray gulls and home to hundreds of other bird species and cobra. Amid the birds, snakes, and lizards lives a male-only community of fishermen who live by a code of cultural and spiritual practices. Reporter Zawadi Modibo travels to live among the men of Musambwa to explore their sacred relationship with nature. BBC World Service, Friday, May 23rd, 11:30 UTC. Crowd Science. As a vegan who doesn't eat honey, Crowd Science listener Sayoris has been thinking about bees. Is it harmful to keep bees in hives and harvest their honey, or could it help them? With wild bee populations declining, are managed beehives giving bees a boost or making things worse? And what does ethical beekeeping look like? Presenter Anand Jagatia discovers that, far from being mindless drones, bees are intelligent insects that can play. He explores the impacts of industrial beekeeping practices on bee health. And he meets the researchers promoting new and old ways to improve bee welfare. BBC World Service, Friday, May 23rd, 0830 UTC. Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.